Mary went with haste. We can't blame her for that. She has just been visited by an angel who told her she was about to become the mother to God. And while she said, okay, because how can you say no to God? Maybe the second thought was, oh crap. Because it was dangerous to be young. It was dangerous to be pregnant, all the while not being married. And so she left with haste. During the pandemic, I wish I could have left with haste. I wish I could have left town, but nobody could, remember? We were all sheltering in place, hunkered down in our little apartments or houses, hoarding toilet paper and crying into our pillows. But around this time, there was a new app for the phone called Marco Polo. And it's just like the game, you know, you say Marco Polo, right? And the premise was simple. You record a little video and then you send it to a friend and then they watch it and can respond. Marco Polo. I actually can't remember what happened first, the pandemic or Marco Polo. But what I do remember is during those initial shutdown weeks where all I wanted to do was run. Polo, Marco Polo, became a lifeline. I had this group chat with my seminary friends. There were four of us. In fact, we still use it. And despite the fact that we were all stuck at homes in these impossible situations, and our lives were actually quite boring, mundane, we found some things to talk about. I don't remember the substance of any of those little polos, but I do remember the feeling. I felt less alone, less stuck in my isolation, less overwhelmed by the magnitude of what we were going through. You know, the story of Mary and Elizabeth is so beautiful for so many reasons, but the thing that's resonated for me this go around is the sense of connection and belonging in the midst of great isolation and vulnerability. Mary runs with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And remember with me, Elizabeth is also pregnant, though she's much older. Her spouse, Zechariah, is mute because although he's a priest, he did not believe that this God-given pregnancy could be possible. And they are expecting John the Baptist here. And so Luke writes that Elizabeth went into seclusion. She is alone with the only company of a mute husband. And so Mary runs to meet her in her own isolation and vulnerability. And here they are, these two weirdly pregnant people. Angelic pregnancies at that. One geriatric and one teenager. An odd pairing. And yet they find each other. The fact that we even get to hear this story is pretty miraculous because so much of scripture is centered around the stories of men. But for Luke, women are essential to the gospel. They're there at the birth, and they're the first ones there at the empty tomb of resurrection. And they show up in all sorts of beautiful ways throughout the story of Luke. Elizabeth here gets to be our first disciple. She's the first one to proclaim her faith, saying, Mary is the mother of my Lord. And from this encouragement, Mary is able to sing this incredibly vivid song that we just sang together, describing who God is and how we get to be the bearers of God's love. And how God will act on behalf of God's people. This vision of justice so powerful that kingdoms will topple. an echo of her ancestors' songs, of Miriam dancing on the shores of the Red Sea, fleeing those Egyptian armies, of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who grows to be a mighty priest and prophet that relates to King David, of the powerful female warriors like Jael. This is not the meek and mild Mary that we often picture with that blue blanket on top of her. No, this is a fierce call against empire and oppression, hunger and fear, coming from this moment of unlikely togetherness. I'd like to think that Mary is a visionary who continued to sing this song of justice and hope over her baby every night at bedtime. Because we hear this song again through Jesus, through things like the Beatitudes, through welcoming tax collectors and Roman soldiers, through the widening of the church to include Gentiles. And this echo continues today. What's cool about Mary's song is she sings these things as if they have already happened. And she gets to be the witness, putting her heart and her body into God's promises made real. A word that is more than a word. All launching from this place of connection in the midst of great, terrifying isolation. All week, I've been trying to find an easy way to describe what love is, since that's our word. And I can't come up with a catchy phrase like I did for all of these. So we got faith, that steadfast steadiness, like washing dishes. We've got justice, what is not fair, but necessary. We've got hope, the promise that good things are gonna come too. Peace, building a welcome wide enough for everyone. Joy, that bubbly goodness which finds us right now in this moment as a surprise. Love? Well, it's all of these things, isn't it? Every week with the children's sermon, when I've asked what the word is, all the kids say love, and they're kind of right. For that's what this is all about, isn't it? In the story of Jesus, the word becomes a person. God's love for us becomes physical, a word more than a word, a promise that is tangible, touchable, God coming into our isolation and embodying what love is. Emmanuel means God with us. CJ confession time here. My human love this week has been sorely tested, as parenting sick kiddos has meant less sleep, constant reminders to cough in your elbow, and lots of disinfectant, grumpiness and short tempers. Doesn't the universe know this is a busy time of year? I don't have time to be sick. On top of, our cat is kind of in hospice, and so that's more bodily fluids. And then some sort of creature moved in under our oven in the parsonage, chewing through wires and hoarding peanuts. Come on, universe. It has been a week. It has been a week. And yet when I've been trying to think about this concept of connecting deep, abiding love, I was reminded of this little book that I bought before Theo was born. It's called The I Love You Book. And it's one of my favorite authors, Todd Parr. You know, I was a social worker before I went to seminary, and I have one of his first books is called It's Okay to Be Different. And so I have a poster of that that I've had since college. Love Todd Parr. It's very CJ, bright colors, simple illustrations. And so I picked up this little book thinking, oh, that's cute. But this book has actually ended up being a creed for me as a parent, and it's annoying and frustrating at times. But on those days when parenting, when being in a relationship with anybody else is hard, and we're worn out, and I just want everyone to leave me alone so I can take a nap, this book reminds me what love looks like. And dear ones, I for sure do this work of love imperfectly. But like Jeff read today, God's love for us is patient and kind, steadfast, incarnate. God's love is connecting. God's love is belonging. God's love in the story of Christmas comes close enough to share germs and sticky peanut butter sandwiches and lots of bodily fluids. For that is what human is, right? And so, dear ones, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as you prepare for the holidays and whatever that means for you, as you face complicated family systems and expectations and perhaps deep isolation and loneliness, may you know that you belong here. May you know that you are loved beyond measure, even with your germs. May you experience in the story of God's incarnation that God sees you. God is in the trenches of this life next to you. I want to close by reading this silly little book. And my hope is that you hear these words as a promise and a blessing that you are loved this day and always. And perhaps in this blessing, you too, as I often do, feel this renewed sense of call to love. To be this love for one another. For this is what we are on the planet to do. And so, beloveds, the I Love You book by Todd Parr. I love you when you are silly. I love you when you are sad. I love you when you are scared. I love you when you are brave. I love you when I am away. I love you when we're cuddled up close. I love you when you sleep. I love you when you don't sleep. I love you when you are sick. I love you when you feel better. I love you when you are stinky. I love you when you are squeaky clean. I love you when we cook. I love you when we eat. I love you when you give me kisses. I love you when you need hugs. Most of all, dear people of God, I love you just the way you are. Amen. Thanks be to God.